Well, we're going to start a little mini-series, a Christmas-type mini-series for the next couple of weeks. You know, sometimes I think we get caught up so much in the busyness that we know the story so well, it almost becomes just a story. You can recount it, you can maybe even quote the verses, but do you ever place yourself in the situation or try to place yourself in the person or any of the people that were involved in that time during the birth of Christ? You know, we sometimes refer to it as the simple birth of Jesus. Well, more than that, when we focus on Jesus' birth, do we focus on what was happening to the people involved maybe up to that day? We're going to look at next couple of weeks into the lives of some of the people that were affected by this, by what was happening in God's economy. I'm going to show a short video today, and we have one for next week and the following week. If you can go ahead and show that video. You ever think about Joseph? Not much is written about him. He isn't mentioned much after the birth of Jesus. He's not mentioned at the cross. Most commentaries believe he had died before Jesus began his earthly ministry. But as we look at his life today, I want us to ask ourselves, how would you have reacted if this happened to you? Are you ready for that? How does it challenge me today? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Now, if you see, there's a whole bunch of genealogies. I'm not going to read those when I can't pronounce half the names. But I want to make some comments about them. If you recall your Old Testament history, heredity was very vital to the Jewish people. You had to be able to prove your ancestry to hold any position, to have any kind of accolades. You had to prove your lineage back as far as it could go. To be a priest, you had to prove on paperwork or from history that your ancestors were from the tribe of Levi. To be a king from David's line, a man had to prove that he was a descendant of David. He had to be able to prove it. And since the Messiah, as was prophesied, comes from the line of David, we have to know that this man was from the line of David. Jeremiah 23:5 says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up David, a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is in the name by which he is called, the Lord our righteousness." So we need to know that Jesus actually comes from the line of David. The genealogies prove that Joseph was from the line of David. However, we all know that Joseph wasn't his natural father. He was, however, from the Davidic line. Mary's ancestry, if you look in the Gospel of Luke, it traces her line back to David as well. So both of them were actually from the line of David. Every line in the genealogies, if you read those, it will say, this guy fathered this guy. This guy became the father of that guy, became the father of that guy, begat, depending on which translation you have. Except for Joseph. If you look at the end in verse 16, it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph. Normally it would say the father of Jesus. But what it says is husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. It does not say that Joseph became the father of, because Joseph was not the natural father. He became the first adoptive father. Guys, think about this for a moment. Your fiance comes home and tells you that she is pregnant, and you know it's not you. But she tells you it's from God. What would you think? What was the character of Joseph? What kind of man was he that God chose him to raise up Jesus? He had to be instrumental in the young years of Jesus' life. He was a carpenter. Jesus became a carpenter. So throughout his life, Joseph had to be instrumental as a dad to him. We don't know much about him, but we know the kind of character that Joseph was. The first thing it says is he is a righteous man. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. If God were to write you into an account, writes a story about your life, would he say that Jeff Bender is a righteous man? Does your family think you are righteous? Do your coworkers, do your friends think you're righteous? They may not agree with you, and we all know we're not perfect. Joseph wasn't perfect, but the Bible calls him righteous. All that simply means was he knows where to go for forgiveness of sin. He followed the Old Testament law. He knew it. He lived his life by what he knew God's law was. And God called him righteous. Joseph was chosen to be probably the second or third most important person in Jesus' life. To raise him up, because he was still a baby. He still had to do the dad thing for Jesus. And God picked him not only because of his lineage, but because of his adherence and desire to live a righteous life. As parents, we are called to live a righteous life for our kids. They may not choose to follow it. They may choose to follow it. We are called to be at least as righteous as we can be in their sight. As Christians, don't you want to be in a position where God can use you? Right? If you saw the beginning of the video, that it references different characteristics of people, you know, prophets, prostitutes, and it goes the gamut. They weren't righteous because of their acts. They were righteous because in the end they trusted God. And God used them. Why? Because they trusted him. They were righteous in his eyes at the end of the day. We want to be in a position where God is able to use us. And if we live our lives as righteous as God allows us to, then we are in a position to be used for something awesome. God picks folks who aren't perfect, but righteous. And notice Joseph. Joseph was not the star of the story. Jesus was the star. Mary's mentioned many times. But Joseph, don't know much about him. As Christians, we don't have to be the star of anything. A lot of times, most Christians are called to be a supporting role. His role was vital in bringing up Jesus as a baby. We don't hear much about that. We don't hear him mentioned much after this. But his influence on Jesus was profound. He had to be a righteous dad. He had to follow the law. He took Jesus to be circumcised. He took Jesus to the temple. He had to do the dad thing in a righteous way. As parents, we need to start our kids out right. Jesus was the Messiah. He had to fill all of the Old Testament laws in order to be used by God. And Joseph made sure that he did. Joseph took him to the temple. Joseph took him where he needed to go. Joseph taught him. Joseph did not let Jesus choose on his own what he wanted to do. We hear that a lot. When my kid gets old enough, I'll let him choose what he wants to be. That's not how that works. As parents, we are called to train them up right. We're to take them to church. We're to take them to do the things that God calls us to do. As a parent, we are the boss, correct? Well, let me ask you this. Is parenting a democracy in your home? Do the kids get to vote on whether or not they go to school? No. Did the kids get to vote on what they have for dinner every single night? It would be cereal and popcorn and pop every night if they got to vote on it. As parents, we are, how is the phrase? We are benevolent dictators. We choose for them what they are going to do. When they're 18, they can do what they want. But up until that point, we get to make the rules. Joseph got to make the rules because he didn't want Jesus to go astray as a little child. And he got no recognition for it in God's kingdom. Are we able to be second fiddle to somebody or to everybody? Does it matter if we get appreciated or rewarded here for being faithful to God? It shouldn't. In fact, the Bible says if we do things in order to be patted on our back, that's the reward we're going to get. But if we are content to sit behind the scenes and do everything that God calls us to do without anybody recognizing us, anyone knowing that we're doing them, God says that is vital for his kingdom. And Joseph was that kind of guy. The second characteristic that Joseph had is he was merciful. Matthew 1:19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her privately. As you saw in the video, can you imagine the doubt, the disappointment, heartache, maybe even anger that Joseph may have felt at that moment? How would you feel? A week before you're going to get married, you find that out. I would venture to say our reaction would probably be anger, probably wanting to retaliate and hurt them like they hurt us. Joseph could have rightly vented his anger through the law. He had every right to do the wrong thing. What was the Jewish penalty for adultery? Death. Leviticus 20:10, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. If Joseph would have announced this to everyone, then everyone would have taken over and wanted her stoned. And he was within his right to do that. But he didn't. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James tells us. Everyone in the town would have believed it. Everyone would have backed him up. I'm sure everyone would have believed his story over hers. But Joseph understood the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. And he showed her mercy. How do we react if we have been severely wronged? Do we have mercy on that person? Or do we want vengeance? We call it justice, but sometimes it's vengeance, correct? When we have the option to legally and righteously retaliate, when it's legitimate, do we take it? Or do we consider what God says about being merciful to someone? And I like to watch those forensic file shows, you know, those type of things. And 2020 has been doing stuff like that, and Dateline, all those kind of shows. And they have these, it's usually an hour or two long, and it talks about this crime, and the whole thing builds up to the end where they catch the guy. And most oftentimes by the end of the story, you know, I'm kind of getting incensed, and I'm like, oh, get this guy, and he deserves what he gets. But one of the ones we saw the other day was the parent of the girl who was killed showed mercy to the guy who did it. And I thought, wow, he's probably a better man than me. Do we show mercy when we don't have to show it? Things may not always be what they appear to be. Matthew 1:20 goes on and says, but after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In spite of what everyone in the world would have told him, what his eyes saw, what he experienced in his life, God's word was just the opposite. How often do we encounter worldly situations where everyone seems to be stacked up against what God's word says? And most often people would agree to do the wrong thing when we know that God's word says to do something different. Do we listen to God's word even when it appears we shouldn't? Even when we appear to be in the right, do we still listen to what God's word says? Or do we kind of rationalize it? Do we know that when God speaks to a situation, there is meaning and purpose behind what he wants us to do? He explains to Joseph what is going on behind the scenes. In verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, we may not always get a dream explaining what's going on, but God's word tells us that there is something going on behind the scenes that God is working out that we don't understand right now. If you had explained that to someone today, they wouldn't understand it. If you said it to someone, obviously, 2,000 years ago, how can someone who's a virgin be pregnant? You can't understand it. But God had a plan, and God was working it out. And sometimes we have to trust God that his plan is better than our retaliation would be. Sometimes if we step in and try to help God out, well, that never works out well for anybody. Verse 24 says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. One commentary says that this is the key verse about Joseph. He did what God said. And he did it instantly. He didn't try to reason his way out. He didn't think, well, maybe this is something different. Maybe God's not doing something that I think he should be doing. He did what God's word says in spite of all the evidence in front of him. The question is, how often do we do that? Do we instantly obey rather than looking at the situation, trying to assess it in a different way? How many have ever heard the phrase or maybe have even said it? Well, me and God have an understanding. Well, you know, God knows my heart. You ever say that? Well, my situation's different. God would never allow me to be sad or hurt or whatever. Joseph didn't say that. Joseph didn't say, hey, God, you know what's going on here. It can't be right. He instantly obeyed God rather than trying to rationalize a response that was an ungodly one. He did what God said. Are we that quick to do it? Rather than trying to assess the situation and rationalize a different response, are we that quick to obey? And he didn't care what other people thought. Everyone was going to know that she was pregnant. He was marrying someone who was already pregnant. Now, he's going to tell everyone or let everyone assume that it's his. That would tell everybody that they were impure on their wedding day. Joseph was willing to accept the stigma that would have been given to him by the townspeople that he had sex before the wedding day. And that was a stigma. That was unrighteous in the town's eyes. It doesn't matter what people think as long as we are doing what God tells us to do. We can't let what others think about our actions dictate what we do. It would have been easy for him to have said, just divorce her. And he'd have been in his right to do that. He'd have went scot-free and started over again. But he stepped, as the video said, The angel was telling him, Joseph, it's time to step up. It's time to step out in your faith. Do you really believe what you've been obeying these past 30 years of your life, or do you not? His obedience and selfless actions provided Mary and the baby with legitimacy, respectability, and protection. If he would have divorced her, she'd have been a single mom. And that's tough enough today. Back then, almost impossible. They couldn't work. Women couldn't work. They had to go in the field and glean, like Ruth did. But he stepped up, and at great personal cost, he did the right thing. Do we care more about what others think than about doing the right thing? 25, verse 25 says, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Sometimes God withholds things from us for a time, for our good, as well as the fulfillment of what God is intending to do. Sometimes God tells us to wait for something that he promised us already. He said, you can have it, but wait. Not only was the baby not his, now Joseph had to wait for the honeymoon. Now, I'm kind of guessing that honeymoons back then were probably much like they are today. So he gets married, and okay, let's have the wedding. Guests, we'll see you. Honey, let's go. Yep. Not only does he have to wait 9 months, I'm sure he had to wait longer than 9 months. How long after you have a baby, women, are you ready? So he's waiting 9 months. Most commentaries call this that he was exhibiting self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit. I kind of call it long-suffering, but self-control. Think about what would have happened had he not exhibited self-control. The prophecy that was spoken would not have been correct, because the prophecy said she would be a virgin until the baby was born. Sometimes God calls on us to wait on something because there is a perfect plan that will come at a later date. It would be much better than what you're having now. We try to tell the kids this in the youth group. You know, God, sex is a great thing in marriage. God says to wait because outside, it's not so great. God promised Abraham and Sarah a baby, but they had to wait. What happened when they stopped waiting? Not so well. Ishmael was born. Why? Because they were impatient with God's timing. They didn't want to wait any longer. They waited, 10 or 15 years? And then Ishmael was born. God says, nope, you blew it. You should have waited. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up when? In due time. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. As Christmas approaches, it's right to focus on Jesus as obviously the reason for this season. But it's also right and good to focus on the people that were involved during that time. Ask yourself, do I measure up to that person? Now, we may not be able to live like Jesus as perfect, but can we live like Joseph? I would like to have Joseph's characteristics applied to me. He was righteous. He was merciful. He was obedient to God. He was humble, self-controlled, pure, and careful to keep God's laws. Are those things something somebody can say about us? Joseph was an ordinary guy, just like any of us, who was living his righteous life, just living his normal, everyday Christian life. Well, not Christian, but You know what I'm saying? No notoriety, no fame, hardly any mention in God's word about him, but his devotion to God was what God used to bring about the Messiah. That tells me anybody here, any normal person living out their Christian life, just doing the right thing without any kind of accolades, any kind of notoriety, God can choose to do something that is tremendous, awesome, that bring about great change. We all know who Billy Graham is, right? Do we know who Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher was? No. That's how he got saved, in a Sunday school class. So you have some unknown teacher, I'm sure you can find his name out somewhere, some unknown teacher teaching a simple Sunday school class, young kid Billy Graham gets saved in a Sunday school class, and look what happens. Because somebody who we don't know, in some church that we don't know, was obedient to God, just doing the right thing. God can choose to use you in that same manner. God can choose to use this church in that same manner. The question is, are we ready for that? Are we ready for what God wants to do? Our old pastor used to say, God's not going to send them unless the church is ready for them. Not going to send new people in unless the church is ready to accept and get ready for new people. The question is, are we ready for what God wants to do? Well, who knows what that could be? As long as we're consistently obedient and doing what God's word says and we are merciful and righteous, God can step in at any moment and do something that is beyond our imagination. Can you imagine the welcome that Joseph received in heaven by all the people around him? Somebody that got no recognition or hardly any recognition in God's word. Can you imagine the welcome that he got in heaven? Can you imagine, and which is what we're working for? We may not get recognition here, but you can believe it. We're going to get recognition when we get to heaven. If we've simply been obedient, normal, everyday, garden variety Christians doing the right thing. Amen? Would you stand up as we close in prayer this morning? If you would bow your heads for a moment as we pray. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been a part of this church for a long time, or maybe you're relatively new to our church. We're glad that you're here. But the more important thing to address is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? We're celebrating Christmas and we all know it's about Jesus, or hopefully we all know that. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you gave that gift to us. But just like any gift, it's all wrapped, sitting there ready to go. You can believe that gift is there. You can believe that that gift exists. And you can believe that gift is for you. But if you don't ever come and pick up that gift and receive it to yourself, that gift does you no good. We may believe that Jesus existed. We may believe that he was, we could even believe that he was the Son of God. The Bible says the devil believes all that, and he's trembling in fear. The difference is not just believing it in your head. The difference is believing it and accepting it in your heart. If you're here and you've never done that, you've never trusted Christ, you've never said, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. Without you, I have no way of getting into heaven. My sins, the Bible says, the wage of the sin is death. Without you, Jesus, one single solitary sin keeps me out of heaven. But because of Jesus taking my penalty, now I am righteous in God's eyes because Jesus took my punishment for me. If you've never done that and you want to do that, I want you to raise your hand right now. All right, I'm going to believe the rest of us here are committed followers of Christ. Father, I thank you for bringing us into your house. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made, the gift that you gave in the person of Jesus. And we thank you for the life of Joseph, who was instrumental in Jesus' life. A person that we don't know a whole lot about, but the little we know about him, we would like to be like him. We would like to have his characteristics be applied and acknowledged in our life. We want to be righteous like he was. We want to be merciful. We want to be obedient to your word. We want to train up our kids to love Jesus. And Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would fill each person here with the Spirit of God, that you would give them everything they need. The word says that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. So equip each person here to be exactly what you've called them to be, a person that's able to influence other people with the gospel of Christ. We can maybe influence someone in a class. We can be someone that others look up to for help. We can be the ones simply offering a smile and a handshake at the door as someone walks in beaten down from the world. Father, each one of us has a very important role to play in all that you want to do. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless each person here. Allow us to really understand the importance of the individual, of me as an individual. What can I do to affect such great things in God's kingdom? Father, bless us as we leave today. Allow the Holy Spirit to really seal this in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. And Father, we will thank you for using us in whatever way that you want to do great things for the kingdom of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.